Alcatraz, Ekdalila Oyukpi. So it's very nice on Alcatraz. It's really a nice thing.
It has all the prime qualities needed for an Indian reservation today. It is totally isolated from society. It has no running water. The sanitation facilities are virtually non-existent. It cannot support life. This is what the reservations are.
The point of the isolation is that this whole land, this whole bit of land, this whole 12 acres is ours, and that we decide who comes here, but that it's ours and we can be totally separate from the city over there, although we are physically a part of it.
Alcatraz, abandoned by the federal government in 1963, has now been claimed by Indians who propose to turn it into an Indian cultural center. Before the Indian invasion, other suggestions for its use included a Monte Carlo-type gambling casino, a West Coast Coney Island, and a Pan-Pacific Exposition Center. To what use would you put Alcatraz?
The meeting today on Alcatraz was held with the Bay Area Native American Council, which we lovingly call Bannock, which is also the name of an Indian tribe. And this organization was formed on January the 31st, 1970. And it represents over 20 Indian organizations in the Bay Area, which has a population of over 40,000 people. There are 78 different tribes from Alaska, Canada, and the United States involved in these organizations. This is the first time since the Iroquois Confederacy that so many tribes of Indians have united. And of course, we're very elated over this here on Alcatraz to find that the people in the Bay Area have given us their complete support. The organizations and elected delegates, a list of this will be given to you, so I don't need to go into that at this time. But out of this meeting today, the Bay Area Native American Council devised and formed a resolution. And this resolution was presented to the members and passed unanimously. So the resolution, as it reads, states that whereas the United States government has failed once again to face directly issues dealing with Native Americans, and whereas Bay Area Indian organizations have met and formed Bannock, and whereas by a unanimous consent, Bannock wishes to support the Alcatraz cause wholeheartedly. Now therefore be it resolved that the council members of Bannock make it known that we support the following ideas. Transfer of Alcatraz title to the Indians of all tribes incorporated. Ownership of Alcatraz for the purpose and research and development for the cultural identity of all tribes rather than for personal gains of individuals or groups. Further support for the idea of educating our Native Americans concerning the culture and religion of our ancestors. Moreover, we support the cause as it serves the total Native American population. Be it further resolved that the U.S. government once and for all face the Alcatraz issue and make definite commitments and dealings directly with Alcatraz representatives. Now, this resolution, of course, means a lot to Alcatraz. First, because it does give us the full support of all our Indian people here in the Bay Area. And secondly, because we feel that with a united group such as this, that the government will have to take some recognition of us and in all the dealings with Indians here in the Bay Area.
I became involved because I'm an Indian, because I was raised in a white society as a white person. I went to school knowing that I was an Indian and not knowing my language, my tradition, my culture. I didn't know what it meant to be an Indian, except that it was something to be laughed at. Something that all the kids, you know, my age, older than me, teachers, some of them did it maliciously. With most of them, though, it was not malicious. They were attempting to show that they understood. They were sympathetic with us. And yet, through sheer ignorance, damage so many Indian children today.
I came out, like I say, to find out about the boat schedules, because these kids out here do want to learn the Sioux language, and I come out here whenever boats are available, like maybe Tuesdays and Thursdays or something like that, I'll come out and teach the Sioux language course. But like she just brought out, I'm sure that it must really be hard for these kids to identify if they parents talk about some reservation that they've been raised on, and here they talk about being raised in Oakland and gone to school in Oakland and that sort of thing. I think it's hard because they don't know their language and it's a whole new thing for them.
When Alcatraz was taken, there were two concepts of it. Number one, there is Alcatraz, the island, a material object, a concrete symbol. Then there is also Alcatraz, the concept. Alcatraz, the concept, is what is important here. We took the island. I wasn't one of the original invaders, but the island was taken in protest. It was taken to show America, all Americans, that Indians exist. We are alive today, and we have a problem. How many people in America really realize what it is to be an Indian? In the original proclamation to the government, issued at the time that Alcatraz was taken, the statement was made, "We have taken Alcatraz because it is our reservation. It has all the prime qualities needed for an Indian reservation today. It is totally isolated from society. It has no running water. The sanitation facilities are virtually non-existent. It cannot support life. This is what the reservations are. This is what these people have come from. This is why the island, the concept, to make people sit up and realize what we have to live in." The present stand of the government on negotiations, as issued by Robert Robertson in his meeting with us on January the 13th, or rather January the 9th, was that no serious discussion can be carried on regarding the health and safety of the Indian inhabitants of that island, nor on turning over title of that land until the force on the island is reduced to a sizable number. He defined a sizable number in his meeting with us as approximately 5 men. He would like to remove all the Indian women and children, most of the men, and leave 5 men on that island paid for by the federal government on a federal payroll. This idea was totally rejected by the Indians. Another stand the federal government takes is the one issued by Robert Hannon, Director of Government Services Administration here in San Francisco. His statement, which has been made repeatedly, is that, "Don't you understand what you're doing? You are trespassing on federal property. You are breaking a federal law." As far as reducing the force on the island, it will not happen. People talk about force. You hear about it in minority groups today. The militants, they talk about force. You have to have force, you've got to have power. One of the most powerful statements was made to Robertson when he was here and suggested that. A 19-year-old woman living on the island stood up with her 2-month-old baby and looked at him and said, "Man, you are not getting me off this island alive unless we have deed to that land." That's force. That is the type of force that the Indian believes in. We're not about to grab guns, go out and shoot them. We don't need that. We fought our military wars. It doesn't work. It's something that's unneeded by us. Once we receive simple fee to the land, title to it in our own name, we're not saying to the federal government, "Give it to those 150 inhabitants of the island." We're not saying to them, "Give it to those 14 men that took over on November the 14th and were driven off." We're saying, "Give that island to the Indians of all tribes anywhere in North America. That island belongs to all Indians." We plan to make use of it by establishing an educational center, a college for our kids to go to. We can go to college, we can get your education. We need to. But if you talk to most Indians that go to white colleges, you'll find that they can't make it. Number one, they don't have the educational background if they've been to most BIA schools. Number two, there are subtle forms of discrimination, which most people don't realize that they're actually practicing. Number three, they lose a sense of unity, of identity, which is extremely important to us. We have to be identified as an Indian. Without our identity as an Indian, we lose the self-concept. We are no longer a person. We also would like to establish a traveling college, which would go out from the island and draw in people from all across the U.S. to teach at different Indian reservations. They would teach both the white academic subjects and Indian culture. We would like to establish a cultural center, not in the traditional sense of a cultural center as a museum. It would be a living, viable thing.
Well, I could say identifying with it if you don't know too much about it. I think I'm glad that it's not that way with me. You know, like my father's coming out and he's going to speak to my class and he's going to come out here, like I was just telling the lady here, he's going to come out and talk to these kids out here, you know, on various religions and the sun dance and stuff like that. So that would be interesting, because they may just think of these things as just a ceremonial type of a thing, but it really, everything has a meaning to all of this stuff, and they don't know that. It's just lost with them.
What we are saying is we want to be Indians, and we realize that we do need education. We need lawyers. We need doctors. We need professional people, business administrators. And yet at the same time, we need our reservations. We need our lands. We need Alcatraz.
I think everybody feels that the cultural center is necessary, and by its very definition, it would be a pretty diverse institute with trying to cover as many Indian cultures as we could. Besides just covering the cultures, it could be the type of place perhaps where a lot of the kids could come and learn about Indians and about what being Indian means. Many of these kids who grew up in an urban area and haven't had the opportunity to learn, or whose parents were ashamed of being Indian and they just couldn't learn. Besides that, maybe they could develop the kind of attitude which would permit them to go back home to the place of their origin and ask about their own tribe, because some of the older people are pretty nervous about being talked to by the younger generation. And maybe if the kids had some sort of basic ground to stand on to ask their questions from, that the old people would talk to them.
Oh yes, we have a lot of work to do here, even to make things livable for us until building can start, if and when the island is given to us, such as the plumbing is terribly outdated and in poor condition. Of course, we need more electrical facilities, and of course the water situation at this time for the number of dwellings we have here is adequate, but then we don't know what the water situation is going to be from day to day. But the unions have told us not to be concerned about this, that there's in their support will include facilities for water and other health needs, and so we're not going to be concerned. We'll let the unions do what they want to do for us. Repairs have already started. I mean, repairs started practically the day we landed on the island. A week and a half ago, the kids put in all new glass in one of the old houses over here. Now this has become livable, and a family has moved in there. And of course, most of the plumbing on this island when we moved on here was not functioning. And of course, at this time we have 21 toilets functioning and have 5 showers going now. So this we managed to keep clean and take care of our health needs as far as that's concerned. The water pipes, of course, some of them were leaking. Our boys have repaired the leaks, and of course, the dangerous thing about the island was that there was lots of wire and pieces of metal and stuff lying around all over the island. These have all been picked up and moved, and to make it safer for our children here. And there are a lot of things that our people have done here. Plumbing and electricians, I think, are our two greatest needs right now, because the union is attempting to get the generators, a generator working, and forests that will provide more electricity for more buildings. And we've just had a small generator donated, which of course will take care of the lights in the recreation hall. So we're not going to be concerned about that part of the island right at this time.
For instance, I am living in one of the old guardhouses. There are 18 apartments in that building. Each of them has 3 bedrooms, living room, dining room, kitchen. I'm sharing one room with another girl. We have 6 very dilapidated pillows on the floor covered up by 2 blankets, cover up with 1 blanket and a cow hide that her father gave her. We sleep in whatever we can find. There is no heat on the island. We have electricity in half of our building. We have food supplied to us daily from the mainland. We have a purchasing agent who takes charge of this, supplying us with groceries. We travel to and from. College students and high school students commute daily into the city to attend classes, then return to the island at night. We have a school on the island for pre-nursery school age children. We have a school, also an elementary school, which covers grades through 6. We are also tutoring high school dropouts to gain their equivalency diploma. So basically, we have our own self-contained community. We do have a water barge. It is the property of Government Services Administration, and we have been told that after one more trip, the barge will not be available for service. And unfortunately, as far as they say, it is the only barge on the entire West Coast. The only water barge, that is. We've been told by the government that this barge is unsafe, that it may explode, but we have also had a study on that barge done by members of the International Longshoremen's Union, and they have told us that barge is perfectly capable of operating for another 50 years. If the barge is removed, we will find a way to supply water to the island. We are there to stay. Alcatraz to us is more than, you know, just some hippie thing to do. It is a statement to the public that Indians exist. The inhabitants of the island are there until we gain title to the land, until we gain the title and we own it and can begin building. Use to be made of the island once we gain it is the establishment of an Indian educational center, generally on a college level, I would say, although it may or may not include elementary and high school. We also intend to establish a center for ecology to try and help in the solution to the pollution problem in the United States today. We would like to see a cultural center which is not a dead museum type thing, but which would be a viable statement of our culture, both in the past, the present, and what we envision the future as being. We would like to see it used as the base for a traveling college to go out to all reservations, both in the United States and Canada.
All the books that have been printed are, like I say, the ones printed by or written by Jesuits, priests, or missionaries, and that kind of stuff. And that's all they have to go on, other than the dictionary. And the dictionary covers, I think there are 9 tribes that are listed as under the Sioux, the Assiniboines and Mandan, Hidista, and all of those they come under the heading of the Sioux. So they may have a different dialect, whereas if I could hear 2 Assiniboines talk, I may understand them. But there are, you know, like some words they may say different, and pronunciations may be different, but that would be it. All they can get is what they can get from their parents, or if they make occasional visits back home to the reservation or something, they may visit their grandparents and stuff. I have cousins here that have been raised in San Francisco. They've been out here 18 years, and they look forward every other year. They go back to South Dakota, and they just live for that time when they can go home and let it all hang out.
Well, if they did put the cultural center here, then they would have a place to come and learn the language, wouldn't they?
Definitely. Like, that's the one place they can go and say, well, Chief Sitting Bull did this. Now, he really is known for this. I know it. I can go there. I can find it out. I know it because it has been put there from somebody that really knows, not just somebody that's writing a legend about the West or something like that.
Have you ever considered putting together a dictionary, since there is virtually no Sioux dictionary?
I would like to. I would like to. It would really be fun. And it's very interesting once you get started in it, that it really is interesting work.
I've never heard the Sioux language. Could you say something and tell us what it is?
Doshkea Onkahe. And that is, how are you doing? Or I could say, Lila Ampetuashte. This is really a beautiful day.
We have submitted, or we will be submitting next week, a planning grant asking for $169,000 for a year-long planning session, which would also involve one workshop conference. Now, hopefully, with this planning grant, we would be able to get the structural engineers and the architects and whatever out here to tell us, with what we have in mind, what buildings would have to be torn down, what would have to be rebuilt, and that sort of thing. So we haven't decided right now that something would have to be torn down, although the cell block looks like it would most probably have to go. Anyway, we're just waiting for the experts to tell us. Or we tell them what we want, and then they say what we would have to do. As it stands right now, I believe that we're applying to the federal government for the grant, and possibly to different agencies in the federal government. Now, that's that grant for the planning committee, and then we would have other grants asking for supplies for the island and for maintenance.
But first, the first step is to obtain a clear title to the island.
Yes, this is what we've always considered. Once we had that, perhaps then we could apply to some of the large private foundations interested in helping Indians, but we need the legal title first. So I think that we need a place such as this where we can go and be a part and where the young people can develop on their own and where it can help the young people to learn what it means to be Indian. We'd need, besides that, this island could function sort of as a national center for publicity on Indian causes, and we could have like a national mailing list and so forth, and to help everybody. Because I feel that this island belongs to all Indians, and this is our main intention.
At the present time, Alcatraz is our reservation. It was stated in the original proclamation at the time of the first invasion that Alcatraz had everything necessary to become an Indian reservation in its isolation from society, in the fact that it had virtually no sanitation facilities, it had no running water, and it could not support life. You cannot grow food on it. It cannot be a self-sustaining community without help from the outside. And we would like to see this piece of rock, which has long been a symbol of oppression and of, you know, man's inhumanity, to become the statement of our determination for a better life as Indians.
Alcatraz, indeed a symbol of man's inhumanity to mankind. Uninhabited except by birds for more than 70 years after its discovery, it was then taken over by the federal government and built into a fortress to protect the Bay Area from attack by sea. If Alcatraz had any military value as a fortress, it was a deterrent value because no enemy ever came and not a single shot was fired in anger. Alcatraz wasn't a total loss, however, because a lighthouse had been built, which was an invaluable aid to shipping, and it was gradually being used as a lockup for drunks and deserters. As the importance of the guns declined, the importance of the cells grew until finally, in March of 1907, Fort Alcatraz ceased to be, and the island became, by act of Congress, the Pacific branch of the United States military prison. Over the years, the number of military prisoners declined, and finally the Army agreed to turn the rock over to the federal government to house the growing number of gangsters spawned by Prohibition and a growing depression. Alcatraz became America's Devil's Island, the one place in the American penal system that made no pretense at rehabilitation and whose one aim was to confine and punish. Now abandoned due to increased operating costs and a failure to deter today's criminals, Alcatraz waits to be put to another use. For the past 30 minutes, you have heard the voices of people who are offering their plans and hope for the island. This program was edited by Philip Flager with the technical assistance of Dave Kurt and Kurt Hollister.
When I started the class at Berkeley, there was one lady that sat in and she said, may I audit the class? And scared me because I didn't know, you know, really who she was or what, but I said, okay, you know, so she sat in. We got through with the course and she said, my, she said, you speak beautiful English, you know? And I didn't really know what she was getting at. So I said, what do you really mean, you know? And I asked her and she said, well, she said, the colors have a dialect, you know, the colored people have a dialect, the Orientals have a dialect, the Mexicans have a dialect. But she said, you stand up there and you talk, and she said, you just don't have any kind of a dialect. She said, you just speak perfect English. And so, I mean, you know, it really meant nothing to me, but, you know, like, it was weird that she would say something like that, but I don't know, I guess that's the way it goes.
Oh,